This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Steve Kraske. Kansas City Mayor Quentin Lucas can celebrate progress on at least two fronts this morning: temporary housing for up to 500 homeless people and the renaming of three streets for Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. The renaming appears to bring to an end a long simmering controversy in this town that has lingered for many months. We'll also talk to the mayor about electric buses and paid internships for at-risk youth. Mayor, always good to have you here. Welcome back.
It is great to be with you today.
Our number here for our listeners, if you have questions for the mayor, 816-235-2888, or you can tweet us at @KCURUpToDate. Mayor, the Parks Board voted unanimously Tuesday to rename about 5 miles of the city's boulevard system after Dr. King. The streets are now known as Vogler Boulevard, Swope Parkway, and Blue Parkway. The lack of an outcry, to me at least, suggests that the city may have finally found the sweet spot here.
You know, I think often in these discussions, it is not even so much the substance as much as it is the process. People wanted to make sure that we were listening to them, that we were having public meetings, that we were engaged. And I think that's what you saw in the more perfected process that we have this time around. So I think it is a good sign that there has been no big uproar. A lot of the key institutions on this thoroughfare, including the University of Missouri, Kansas City, that has the Volcker campus, said that they supported the change. And so I think that has allowed us to have this real positive. And I also think that we are blessed with a beautiful corridor, one that certainly needs improvements in parts, but a real story that we can link to Dr. King's life, matching east and west in Kansas City and making sure everybody feels a part of it all.
You know, whose idea was this to rename these particular streets, which is really the same corridor after Dr. King?
You know, it was something that was mentioned before during the last kind of cycle of this discussion. I think that last time, Paseo was just something that a lot of our friends in the Southern Christian Leadership Conference and others were committed to. A lot of their churches were on that boulevard. And I think this time around, there was that shifting focus in not so much finding a street that just is east-west, of which there are many choices, but finding one that actually kind of speaks to the Parks Department's mission. You have Martin Luther King Park at about 71 Highway and Swope Parkway, soon to be Martin Luther King Parkway. You had this great linkage. You have the trail along Brush Creek, which isn't actually just to the plaza. It also extends much further east, areas that we do need to make sure we clean up even more. And so that's where I think it came from. But it really built up from the Parks Department itself, a number of different community groups, and then some who were anti-Paseo, that change, who said this is a really good alternative.
You know, you've said that this is already one of the most beautiful MLK boulevards in the country. Why is that significant?
I think that we want to have people have an opportunity to celebrate it, to think about it. I am someone, as you know, who grew up in Kansas City, grew up in East Kansas City. We have a lot to do, but whenever I go to the Bruce Watkins Center and look out back and see that kind of calm vista over Brush Creek, over Parks Land, I feel at peace. I feel like I can stop and think. And you're in the inner city of Kansas City, Missouri. I think that we have made great progress there. We have the shops at Blue Parkway, where Kansas City government has just invested $5 million in economic development. There is much positive there that tells us that we're going in the right direction. And that's why I think this will be a positive. This isn't just a street we renamed. This is a corridor, a true corridor that we have invested in, but that we look to invest in more as time goes on.
I was going to say, you've promised not only to maintain it, as you're saying here, but even to improve it. Do you have any specific plans in mind?
I think there are ongoing conversations, primarily with former mayor and Congressman Cleaver, about how we can make sure that we are improving the kind of that lake space that's at Brush Creek, on Brush Creek, near the end of some of the beautification work done years ago. I think the critique was the beautification work on the plaza really got completed some time ago during the Cleaver years, actually. And then we kind of left it somewhat incomplete. So you have ravines, you have some of that work, but you can have better trails, park space, really actually cleaning up some of the lake and the creek bed itself. And I think that's going to be our next step in that corridor.
Any idea how Dr. King's family feels about this choice?
You know, I don't actually. I know Congressman Cleaver and others spend a lot more time talking to them. I know they have the relationships. I'd like to believe that we've continued to keep them abreast. I know Congressman Cleaver does talk to Martin Luther King III and others. And so even before, they supported our efforts to recognize their father, their grandfather. And I think that we will have a chance to make sure that when they perhaps get back here to Kansas City, they have a chance to see this wonderful thoroughfare.
I'm visiting with Mayor Quentin Lucas. Let's turn to the homeless in town, Mayor. After a long negotiation, elected officials on Thursday unanimously adopted a measure that could provide temporary housing with hotel rooms for up to 500 people. The measure cleared the city council without any opposition. I want to emphasize the word temporary here. Where does this agreement take us now?
I think this agreement, first of all, is a recognition of a lot of things. And I noted this the other day. First, it's a recognition of how important de-escalation can be. In too many of these situations, you see a conflict. You see either a police department or parks rangers or others clear out an encampment. Everybody just goes to another encampment and we play this cat and mouse game for years. I'm proud of the fact that it was tough work, actually. And honestly, Steve, probably one of my favorite kind of political moments was after meeting every day last week, and you saw us, we got out of, on a table in front of City Hall. We were able to come to a handshake agreement, which was that the city would find relocation opportunities initially for those at the camps themselves, but then ultimately look to expand it for a period of 90 days, which was distinct from what we had previously done, which usually was 2 weeks to 30 days. The idea being that over 90 days, you can build up opportunities for people, you can get them counseling, you can help with job relocation, you can make it so they are not dependent necessarily on what is the next housing opportunity, the next shelter. That's the sort of thing that we were really trying to accomplish. In terms of what comes after, which is a frequent question, we are looking to build up not just long-term opportunities for the Housing Authority of Kansas City, however that has an 11,000 person waiting list, also seeing if we can build something that's similar to the veterans community projects, tiny homes villages, et cetera. That's something Kansas City government's exploring. But already we've had about 320 Kansas Cityans avail themselves of these opportunities to be housed. We're proud of that. And what's more, given the nights, we probably already helped fund about 1,000 room nights already for people who are seeking housing.
Mayor, how realistic is it with the resources available to you at City Hall that the city can move to some sort of permanent solution for the homeless? You're mentioning tiny homes, which are known for being a fairly affordable option here. Jason Kander championing that for the veterans out at 8900 Troost. But this costs money, and a lot of money, given the numbers of homeless folks who live here in Kansas City, who reside here. Is it a realistic option to even begin to contemplate a permanent solution?
You know, I like to think it is. And I recognize, I was asked this recently, can you fix everything on this with this plan? Absolutely not. And I think what we will see, though, is a different path. Our nonprofit partners are key. Our the support of the federal government is key. And importantly, and something I get pushback on sometimes, the regional governments, my fellow cities are important for us in connection with how we handle this problem. When I was at the Westport encampment, there was a woman from Overland Park with two of her sons. And I asked her, well, how did you get to Westport? She said, I just heard about it and came here. I mean, it's a very fluid population. Right. And so that's why we are taking these steps to do more. We are blessed to have federal government investment in these plans. The Department of Housing and Urban Development has announced another $5 billion. For this type of housing that gets Kansas City at least a few million. And we'll try to do that as long as we can to really try to build up people so that perhaps we're addressing some of these issues for the long term. A lot of our homeless population, not that you don't get new folks, but a lot of them have been on the streets for years. So perhaps having this impact one person at a time does at least lead us somewhere.
You know, one of the dangers here, as you well know, is that you come up with a solution, even though it's been properly labeled as temporary, and people begin to relax and not really focus on it so much. But just to your point, is the nonprofit community stepping forward here? Is the for-profit community stepping forward? And are you getting support from other cities nearby, Overland Park, Lenexa, those kinds of communities, which send some of their homeless folks wind up in Kansas City, as you just said?
Well, I think the answer is yes, no, and no. Yes to the question of is the nonprofit community help stepping up? Absolutely. And I think that somewhat unjustifiably, actually, they were subject to a lot of negative criticism, a lot of our shelter community. They are far from perfect, but they provide a key and important service for this community each and every day, helping people with a lot of the services that some of our friends and colleagues who were camping were saying that we didn't have. Things like getting people access to their stimulus checks, getting people COVID vaccines. Mm-hmm. These are things that Hope Faith Services, Restart, and others have been doing for some time. So I thank them greatly. Reconciliation Services over on Truce, which was helping people get their licenses. In terms of the for-profit community, I do think there is far more they can do. Most of the calls that the mayor's office gets that I get are saying, Quentin Lucas, you need to do something about this. Our customers and our clients are angry about it. We don't like driving somebody into Kansas City and they go buy this. Right. I think that there are far more productive things that we can do, including offering more job opportunities, et cetera. And then with other regional governments, now I've critiqued our conversation on regionalism a number of times, and I stand by that critique, which is that Kansas City has this addiction to talking about regionalism if and only if it relates to money and economic development, it seems, in our community. Whereas if we remove economic development and talk about things like public safety or things like public health or homelessness, our regional conversation falls by the wayside, and you never see a mayor's convening where the gravamen of the discussion is let's fix homelessness, let's fix public safety, let's think about equity. I've been mayor now for about a year and 7 months. We're still looking for that conversation. The one time I tried to raise it, it was kind of shut down as part of the discussion for that day. And so, no, we're far, far behind from where we need to be.
You know, Eric Adler from The Star was on here a few weeks ago. He's been reporting on this homeless issue here in town and made the point that solving this problem is so much more complicated than simply providing a roof over people's heads. There are issues with food and in some cases, mental health and money and legal issues. You know all this too well. This is not an easy thing to solve.
It is not. And it is, you know, it's why I think one of the things I appreciated the most about my conversations out on the city hall steps with our representatives of the homeless community was that we got to be honest and we got to be straight up about it. And, you know, I told them, we don't have all the money to address it. So let's try to see as much as we can possibly do in 90 days. The public is interesting in how it balances this. As you know, Steve, there were some in Kansas City who absolutely believed that the encampment should stay as long as they possibly wanted to. Mm-hmm. There were others in Kansas City who said Kansas City government had failed by not removing them the first day they popped up. I mean, I tend to be more with the former group myself, but, I think there's that ongoing balance of how do we get people services so that it doesn't just become a political issue about nuisances or something like that. Instead, people recognize that these are human beings and that we should try to make sure we can lift them up.
Was breaking up those homeless camps in front of City Hall and at Westport Road and Southwest Traffic Way, was that one of your motivations to get this agreement hammered out?
You know, not really. And I told them this actually one day. I said, you know, a lot of mayors are different and we all have lived in different areas and all of that. You're talking to a mayor who grew up in the inner city, lives on Paseo and is used to seeing those experiencing homelessness, who experienced homelessness himself. And what I told them was, you don't want to have people just get used to it. We don't want the California, the San Francisco or Los Angeles scenario, where it just becomes part of everybody's daily existence and then they just walk by people. I don't want Kansas Cityans to get that comfortable with it. And I said, look, I know neighborhoods where we have, unfortunately. I live in neighborhoods where we have sometimes. And so I said, I understand you're making a statement, but let's make sure that statement gets us somewhere rather than people just saying 3 years from now, encampment's always been there and it's just part of driving through town. That's why I think I did want to see us really make some strides, and I'm proud of those that we made.
Again, we're visiting with Kansas City Mayor Quentin Lucas. If you want to join our conversation, 816-235-2888 or tweet us at KCUR up to date. Let's turn to infrastructure because President Biden is obviously pushing another major spending package these days involving infrastructure. On Twitter this week, you were musing about this and you wrote, Mayor, we have to ask at a certain point, what's the goal of infrastructure investment? Keeping up with what we've bought or helping more move in and throughout the city? What got you to thinking about all this?
Well, very simply, I drove around the city today and yesterday and days before, and I see a lot of our leading infrastructure projects are on the edge of Kansas City. And not that I don't love everyone else who's listening in KCUR country from Lee Summit or Grandview or Johnson County, right, or anywhere else. But, we sold the voters a story that we were fixing aging infrastructure, much of which is in the core of Kansas City, not necessarily fixing up roads that are truly for economic development in Lee's Summit, for example, or in Cass County. And I continue to believe that there is just this question of how do we actually address the most impacted and impactful streets? I like to think that looking at streets like Gregory 63rd Street, Warnell through Waldo, which we hear complaints about all the time, Vivian Road, North Oak Traffic Way, you know, these Prospect, right, classic thoroughfares that tens of thousands of Kansas Cityans traverse every day, may be more impactful than resurfacing 1 mile of High Grove between Grandview and Lee Summit. If any of you who don't know what that street is, it's south of Longview Lake and kind of down the street from Grandview High School, which of course is in Grandview. These are the sorts of decisions I think we need to have a chat about eventually. And ultimately, Kansas City, I think, should have a conversation about, is it worthwhile to even pursue de-annexation in parts of the city? I think the viewpoint of 60 years ago was annex everything that isn't nailed down already. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of city. I love every part of this city, don't get me wrong. But I think there's a fair question. Can we deliver services in the, you know, the 2 mile nugget between Grandview and Lee Summit that's south of Longview Lake? So really kind of disjointed from Kansas City. Or would it be better off if we allowed the good people of Lee Summit or Grandview to help deliver those services in a way better than the city and allows us to reinvest in other parts of even, let's say, South Kansas City, where we've fallen behind on some road repair on streets that I know I traverse all the time as well.
You know, this reminds me of comments you've made in the past on this program where you said that the needs of this town are outstripping resources. That would suggest a need to, as you're saying here, to focus on what we've got.
It's a significant need to focus on what we've got. And I'm, you know, and I love every part of the community. I say that all the time. But, you know, we can't let things just fall apart in the core of our city. You know, one of the projects that we have not funded in our infrastructure packages over the last several years is West Penway. So the bridge that is on Broadway and all of that and gets you through the middle of the city. Lots of people traverse it into downtown each and every day. And the fact that we have a lot of these bridges that are falling apart is, to me, incredibly problematic. And that suggests to me we should not necessarily be doing infrastructure investment of here sometimes, only in parts of Kansas City that are much further afield. But we should also look to where our population is. And importantly, that's not a Southland, Northland, Central City type of conversation, because in every one of our council districts, we have that necessary infrastructure that's aging. That's the 103rd Street corridor in South Kansas City that needs right. That type of love. I think far before we're looking to do improvements on Kenneth Road in Southern Jackson and Northern Cass County of Kansas City that very few Kansas Cityans are driving on.
We're talking homelessness. We're talking infrastructure. We're going to be talking zero fare and zero emission buses in just a moment here with Mayor Quentin Lucas. Our number, 816-235-2888. Cindy from Kansas City, Missouri. Cindy, you're on with the mayor.
Yes, good morning, Mayor. I want to thank you for your compassion that you've shown to the families and households experiencing homelessness. And that isn't always our city's leadership response. So I do want to lead with that compliment. But I know that Kansas City has a very robust emergency response system to address housing crises and specifically homelessness. And I don't understand why we're not using that system and we're doing something different. The city council, the city responding and creating its own system rather than using the one that we have.
I think that's a very fair critique. And what I have told the city manager and others over recent days is that we really do need to make sure that we are working more closely with our existing service providers. For example, I think Hope Faith Services has done an outstanding job in helping people get signed up mm-hmm. and doing a number of things. If I were to provide some rationale as to how things have happened, it is that it's all moved very quickly. Rare is it that government can get 340 people housed within the course of a week, actually. You know, we're looking at less than a week. I think that there were some things missed in that. There were folks that started just showing up at hotels. There was some confusion as to who is in charge and who's in lead. My view is that everybody who is looking to avail themselves of the hotel opportunities should start by checking in with Hope Faith Services. I think the city manager and assistant city manager, Kimiko Gilmore, are going to make that clear to us and to the community. And I think that's how we make sure we're still using that same network rather than trying to scale up a network within the course of days. And importantly, before city council has even passed a funding ordinance on the issue. You know, something I told our unhoused friends was that all of these things need to be approved through legislation. They have not been yet. And so I agree with you, ma'am, in the sense that there's a lot of work we need to do to make sure we're doing right by these folks, but using the programs that exist to really try to make sure we address the problems long term.
Thanks, Cindy.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Well, different topic, Mayor. The two new buses have just been added to the city's public transportation fleet. Both are 40-foot electric buses. Zero fare, zero emissions may be the slogan here. How significant is this?
Well, I think it goes to show all the positive changes that we are making in public transportation in Kansas City. The real story is that I think Kansas City is a leader in public transportation nationally. I talked to Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg just the other day about that very thing, that we are the model for zero fare. And I think zero emissions tells us that you can do climate sustainable activities while you're looking to expand and build up a system.
Zero fare had the impact that you hoped it would, Mayor?
It has. It actually has. I don't, you know, it's weird because we've tested all these things in the middle of a pandemic. Mm-hmm. But look, our goal was to get money back in people's pockets. And if you ever have Robbie Mackinnon on, you hear him speak pretty passionately.
Oh, he's amazing.
How important that is. And I do think getting hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars back in people's pockets was key. It's made riding in our system easier. I've talked about regionalism and the need for our brothers and sisters in Kansas and Missouri jurisdictions, Overland Park, Lee's Summit, and others to play along with us. And I think this is another area where the system should be zero fare system-wide. ATA has continued to do great work to try to receive grants. Congressman Cleaver and Congresswoman Davids have worked to get the money. There is no reason that people can't find zero fare transit stops on Metcalf, Nolan Road, and lots of other places. So I think that's the next step in terms of really system-wide success for us.
You've also just announced 500 paid summer internships for at-risk youth. This is something the city tries to do every year. How significant is this?
No, it's huge. You know, I like to think that when people go back and define my tenure as mayor, and I know COVID will be a part of it, a significant part of it, but I hope they see how many ways we have tried to make a Kansas City a better place to live for everyone, and how we've recognized to address public safety, for example, you have to start with young people and opportunities and experiences. And that's why we have scaled up the program for this year. That's why we are looking at employers to help us out. Call 311 if you'd like to offer a place for a summer youth. And it's why we will continue to look at all the different pillars to how you make this city better. Prevention, intervention, before you get to enforcement. That's what makes Kansas City safer long term. And I'm glad that we're targeting these opportunities on the urban core of Kansas City.
Yeah, I'm also wondering what you make of corporate America flexing its muscles on issues like moving baseball's All-Star game out of Atlanta this year over those concerns that the state had just passed restrictive new voting laws. In Kansas City, we have a big event coming up in a couple of years, the NFL draft. Are we in danger of losing events like that because, you know, a bill could pass the state legislature that might offend people, or even if we have a police shooting in this town, that would be unfortunate but untimely in the case of the NFL draft?
I absolutely think that we're in a position where we need to be mindful of that. That's what I share with Jefferson City. In a few weeks, I'll be going back to Jefferson City with the new mayor of St. Louis, Tashara Jones, where we'll talk about one of those very issues relating to a bill that allows people to run over protesters in one of the most god-awful pieces of legislation we've had in a while. And so my view is that we do need to make sure we're doing better on it, that we are clear, and importantly, that our business community, you know, in the 21st century, it is a new, different way to engage and step up. Stepping up doesn't just mean saying, hey, we should do this infrastructure project or that infrastructure project. We've had generations of that. I think stepping up is saying we're going to have a state and a city and two states that are welcoming to people, that aren't trying to push people away. That is the difference. You know, I had a meeting yesterday where they were saying the way we get kids back from San Francisco or Seattle is by building this or that. That's absolutely not the case. It's by making people feel welcome. It's by making people feel like they're in a place they want to be. And whether you're the richest kid in Kansas City or the poorest one, right, you want to feel like you're somewhere where you feel comfortable and grow. And I think that's where the chamber and others need to engage more over the years ahead in Jefferson City and Topeka and how we're looking at policies around these parks.
You know, Mayor, just a final point. We didn't get the All-Star game here once baseball's owners decided to move it out of Atlanta. It's going to Denver. We just celebrated the 100th anniversary of the Negro Leagues, and this would have been a fitting way to commemorate that. And actually, I thought given that we had a shot at it, what happened?
You know, on that one, we always make ourselves very clear about our abilities to host. And I think the Negro Leagues Baseball Nexus would have been outstanding, particularly because in our centennial year, 2020, there were just a lot of challenges, as we all know and recognize. I hope that there is a chance for us to either get another All-Star game, to do something that shows Kansas City's commitment, but it was an incredibly missed opportunity. We made it clear to baseball, but for any number of reasons, they had already kind of cooked the plan for Colorado.
Well, that's Kansas City Mayor Quentin Lucas. Mayor, always appreciate you taking time to share your views, and good luck in the days ahead here. Sure appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, Steve. Good to be with you.
You bet. After a short break, we'll be back to talk about Greek life in this country and whether it's run its course or not on college campuses. I'm Steve Kraske, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. We'll be right back.